The following is a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. At Haven Heights, we believe that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. As you listen to the sermon, we pray the Lord would use the preaching of His Word to point you to Jesus and to strengthen your faith in Him. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed the sinner's prayer. You know the prayer that occurs after the evangelist ends his sermon? And he usually says, now every head bowed, every eye closed, and if you want to go to heaven, repent of your sins and follow after me in this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I know that I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died and rose from the dead. I believe that you died and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you into my heart. I turn from my sins and invite you into my heart. I want to follow you and trust you as my Savior. I want to follow you and trust you as my Savior. In your name, amen. Several times a year, I'd say this prayer. And every time I heard it, I prayed it, and I meant it. Several times a year, I'd walk into the event thinking I was a Christian, and then the speaker would start, and he would launch in about my sin, and I'd begin to think, well, maybe I'm not a Christian. Maybe, and probably, I lost my salvation somewhere in there. So I better say the prayer again. And session after session, I was like a yo-yo, up and down. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian not. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian not. Many of us in this room have stories like this. And I know because you've told me. And some of us have spent years of our life every night asking the Lord to save us again because who knows, at some point during the day, I might have lost my salvation. Others among us this morning have great fears that we're going to fall away. And we fear that we're going to sin in such a way, although that I haven't fallen away yet, I surely will. And this is what Jesus will teach us this morning. Those that are truly saved are safe in Him forever. For those taking notes this morning, we begin with a big idea. And the big idea is this, the doctrine of eternal security. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning, the doctrine of eternal security. And then two very simple questions to guide our time. Number one, what does that doctrine mean? And then number two, why does that doctrine matter? So first, what does the doctrine mean? What does the doctrine that we call eternal security, what does that actually mean? It means that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have faith in Him, if you believe that He came to this earth, that He lived the perfect life, that He died for your sins, and that He was raised on the third day, if you believe that you are saved, and you are safe in Him forever. If you have faith, you cannot fall away, your destiny is fixed, you cannot and you will not go to hell. If you are in Him, you are in Him forever, and no one and no thing can change that salvation. That's the doctrine we call eternal security. Now, that doctrine runs throughout the entire Bible, and yet of all the places the Bible speaks of this doctrine, our passage this morning is perhaps the most clear and the most comprehensive. Listen again to these three verses, 28 through 30. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all. No one will snatch them out of His hands. I and the Father are one. From these three verses, we see the doctrine of eternal security. And from these three verses, there are nine reasons why this doctrine must be true. Nine reasons why eternal security has to be true. Number one, verse 28, give. Eternal life is a gift. There's nothing you do to earn a gift or to achieve a gift or to win a gift. A gift is a gift, and gifts are determined by the giver, not the recipient. Number two, the gift is eternal. The gift is without end. It does not say I give the gift of eternal life for 6 months or 6 hours or until my son or daughter goes to college. No, it says the gift of spiritual life is eternal, unceasing, unending. The gift is life. No one's ever chosen to be born. Life happens to us, not because of us. And spiritual life is the same. It happens to us, not because of us. Number four, verse 28, they shall never perish. Now he's just said the gift is eternal, which means without end. Now he says the same thing, but this time only in the negative. It cannot perish. Jesus just is trying to be as absolutely clear as possible. If you have it, it lasts forever, and it lasts forever because it cannot end. Number five, no one will snatch them away. Verse 28, no one will snatch them out of my hand. Not the thieves and robbers of verse 1. Not the wolves of verse 12. No one can steal the believer away once in Christ, safe in Christ forever. Verse 29, number six, the Father's given them. Why are those in Christ safe in Christ? Because verse 29, the Father has given them to Jesus. God the Father ensures that his own come to Christ and stay in Christ. That was our scripture reading this morning. Romans 8, 29. God knows who will come. God makes sure they will come. And God makes sure those who come stay put. Number seven, verse 29, the Father's greater than all. Who can change the will of God? Who can alter the plans of God? Who can outsmart God? Who can overpower God? No one. Because God keeps us in Christ, no one can change that. Number eight, verse 29, no one is able to snatch them away. That sounds like what we've already heard, but this time it's different. Jesus says no one will snatch them away in verse 28, and now he says no one can snatch them away in verse 29. Jesus says it's impossible for sheep to be snatched away. It won't happen because it can't happen. Number 9, verse 30, Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus and the Father have the same unity and the same purpose, which is to save people and to keep saved people safe in him. And so it's not as though Jesus is the softy and the Father is the reluctant one. No, they're one. Same unity, same purpose. They want people to be saved, and they want saved people to be safe in him forever. And because they want the same thing, it will surely happen. So that's the doctrine we call eternal security. Those in Christ are safe in Christ forever. Cannot fall away, cannot be stolen away, cannot sin themselves away, once in Christ, safe in him forever. That's the doctrine. Now here's the question. Why does that matter? Why does that matter for my daily life? Number two, why does it matter? This doctrine matters for two reasons. Number one, confidence. And number two, conviction. The first reason is confidence. This week, I conducted one funeral, attended yet another funeral, and watched as three people went into hospice care. And as death looms near the believer, there is nothing more encouraging than the doctrine of eternal security. And here's why. This past week, one man told me of his dying wife, and he said with tears in his eyes, "When I came into the room, she didn't know who I was." And he said, I said hi to her, and I asked her, "Do you know who I am?" She shook her head no. And then here's the part that's heartbreaking. She turned away from him. They were married for over 50 years. 50 years ago, she promised, "I will love you forever." And now she doesn't know who he is. And sometimes she even turns away from him. She turns away from the one she promised to love. So here's the question. How do we know that she won't turn away from Jesus and that she won't forget Jesus. Didn't she make a similar promise to him? Didn't she promise to love Jesus forever? What confidence do we have that she won't turn away from Christ? We have the confidence from this doctrine. And not because it's a doctrine of the church, but because it's the words of Christ. Jesus is the one who promises to keep us in him. That's the doctrine. No thing and no one can snatch us from his hand, even dementia. Eternal security, safe in him forever. But now we may say, well, preacher, you know, that's sickness. And no one's responsible for their sickness. Her husband understood that. Her husband understood that her turning away from him was her dementia. And should she forget Christ on the last day, Christ will surely understand that. We understand sickness. But what about sin? And that's what we really want to know, isn't it? Probably every mind here this morning has been thinking that. What about sin? Is it possible for the believer to sin ourselves out of salvation? Is it possible for me to commit some sin that is so egregious or so extensive that it'll cause me to lose my salvation? Now, some answer that question, yes. And some will say, oh, yes, you can definitely sin your way out of salvation. And they will say, and I've heard it with my own ears, they will say you can lose your salvation. No one can take it from you, but you can lose it. And they'll say, you know, just as you receive a gift, you can lose a gift. And so people can get the gift of salvation and then on their own accord lose the gift of salvation. But that can't be right, because Jesus says no one can snatch them away, and the believer is a someone. Did you catch that? No one can snatch them away, and every believer is a someone, which means even I can't snatch myself away. And so the doctrine matters for confidence. Those who are in him are safe in him forever. And some of us here this morning need the confidence that Jesus teaches. Many of us here have genuine faith in Christ. We believe that he was born of the Virgin, that he lived the perfect life, that he died on the cross for our sins, was raised on the third day. And then we stumble, and we get really down, and we get depressed. We wonder, what does this mean? What does this mean for my salvation? Am I not a Christian? Am I not saved? Did I just lose my salvation? What does this say about me? And some of us need the confidence that comes from this doctrine. Some of us need to have assurance that those in him today will be safe in him tomorrow and forever. Some of us here this morning need the confidence that this doctrine teaches. And others of us here this morning need the conviction that this doctrine demands. So many times, especially we as Baptists, refer to this doctrine as once saved, always saved. And sometimes that's taken to mean as long as I did the thing, so as long as I said the prayer or I made the profession public or I was baptized, as long as I did the thing, my salvation is secure. And because I did the thing, because I said the prayer, or because I made the profession, or because I was baptized, I can now do whatever I want, and it doesn't matter because I'm secure in him. And I can go months or years without going to church. Doesn't matter, because I'm safe in him. I don't need to read my Bible anymore. Doesn't matter. Safe in him. You know, I can choose to live in ways contrary to this book. Doesn't matter. I'm safe in him. But look at what Jesus says in verse 26. Not everyone who thinks they are a sheep is a sheep. Jesus says to those who think they are in the fold of God, you are not a sheep. And he tells them, despite anything that you think, you don't actually belong to God. From verse 26 alone, if we take the Bible at face value, someone somewhere needs conviction. Maybe in this room, maybe people listening at home on YouTube, or maybe next week on the radio. Far more than likely, someone somewhere needs to hear the opposite of confidence and must hear conviction. Now, if ever there were people who thought they belonged to God, it was the people that Jesus is speaking to in this passage. These people are the religious people. These people are the obedient people. These are the interested in spiritual things people. And they are also the non-sheep people. Jesus tells in verse 26, you're not my sheep. Now, why aren't they in the fold of God? Why aren't they sheep? Answer, because they don't follow Jesus. In fact, just look at verse 31 and 39. That they actually try to kill Jesus? And why do they want to kill him? Why don't they want to conform to his teachings? They want Jesus dead because they get so tired of Jesus chomping in their ear. Jesus is just on them, talking nonstop. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to believe. This is what you have to be. And they say, this guy is just so annoying. We've got to get rid of him. And so verse 31 and 39, they make up their minds, we're going to kill this guy because we're tired of him chomping in our ear. This is what you need to believe, and this is what you need to do. And so notice what happened. They fell away. If we just zoom out a little bit and take the 30,000-foot view of the last couple of chapters we've been looking at, chapter 8, many of these people are believing in Jesus. Chapter 9, they get really angry with Jesus. Chapter 10, they abandon Jesus and are ready to kill him. From a 30,000-foot view, it's obvious what happened. They fell away. Now, how can we say that? You know, some of us here are listening, and we're saying in our minds, now hold up. I've been listening to what you've been saying, and this is doublespeak. You've said for so much of the sermon that sheep can't fall away, and now you say these guys fell away. And those are opposite things. That's doublespeak. And two opposite things can't be true. You say people can't fall away, and now you say these people did fall away? Seems like doublespeak. But it's not doublespeak because verse 26, they were not his sheep. And so don't miss this. Sheep can never fall away, but non-sheep fall away all the time. Sheep can never fall away, but non-sheep fall away all the time. And all you have to do is just read the parable of the soils, or the parable of the sheep and the goats. Non-sheep fall away all the time. And so here's the question that's looming over our minds. How do I know where I stand? How do I know if I'm a sheep who is safe in him forever? Or how do I know if I'm a non-sheep? You know, you are safe in Christ for tomorrow when you obey what he says today. You know you are safe in Christ for tomorrow when you obey Christ today. And that is not works-based salvation because verse 27, his sheep listen to him. You want to know how the shepherd has the sheep? How does the shepherd have the sheep? How does the shepherd keep the sheep? The shepherd has his sheep because he has their ear. That's how he has their sheep. He has their ear. And the shepherd calls to his sheep, and his sheep heed the call. Those who hear and those who heed should have confidence. I belong to him. And if I belong to him, I'm safe in him forever. And those who hear and yet refuse to heed need conviction. I may not belong to him. And if I don't belong to him, I may be lost forever. Now, for anyone who may feel conviction, the words of Christ in this passage are not words of condemnation. They're words of calling. He's calling to them. Follow me. Listen to me. So if you're convicted this morning, you say, yeah, I've got some stuff that's going on. And I know it's not right. And I know it's not the way of Christ. And I know that I shouldn't do that, and I know that I should change. If you're convicted this morning, you are at a crossroads. The shepherd is calling you to follow him. And how you respond to his call, and by that I mean this call right now, how you respond to his call may just determine everything. If you heed his call and decide to repent and decide I'm going to listen to his voice, I'm going to follow him, that will most likely prove that you belong to him. And hearing this call, if you say, no, I'm not going to heed that. I'm not making any changes to my life. If you hear the call and refuse to heed the call, more than likely it'll prove you don't belong to him. Why does this doctrine matter? This doctrine matters because every single person here needs something. Some of us need confidence, and others of us need conviction, and the word of Christ gives to each as each is needed. We'll end with some practical application, then we'll be through. First point of application. Each of us must look to Jesus. We need to look to Jesus and not to ourselves. When we look to ourselves for evaluation, we only get discouragement. Some of us are Christians, and we don't feel like Christians. And it's because we're constantly looking to ourselves, and we ask questions like this: do I desire prayer enough? Am I loving enough? Do I forgive enough? And we wonder, is there enough in here to warrant a genuine faith? People regularly ask me how things go. Maybe after a sermon or after a funeral. And they'll ask me, they'll say, so how'd it go? And I usually say fine or okay. And that's because I don't want to say any more. I know it was woefully inadequate for the importance of the task. And I know where it fell short. I know where the delivery was off. I know where the application wasn't tight enough. And I know where I fall short every single time. And even though I planned it for hours, it always falls short. And if that falls short, how much more do I fall short in the regular spontaneity of life? when we look to ourselves for eternal security, there will be nothing but confusion. Am I saved? Am I not? That was pretty good today. That was pretty awful. Am I saved? Am I not? I don't know. But when we look to Christ, confusion goes away and confidence come in. When we look to Christ, we see that I'm not saved because of my deeds, but because of his death. And I'm not forgiven because of my righteousness, but because of his resurrection. The way and the only way to know eternal security is to have our eyes fixed on Jesus and what he has done for us. So number one, look to Jesus. Number two, listen to Jesus. And listen to Jesus as in read your Bible. This book is the voice of the shepherd. And when we read this book, it confirms that I belong to him. You see, when you read 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. When you read that and then your anxiety melts away, it proves I'm a sheep who belongs to him. Or when you read Proverbs 3:5, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And then you get that surge of peace. It proves I belong to him. When we read this book, we see in real time the shepherd calling his sheep, which proves I am his sheep. His word brings holiness, cleansing, blessing, refuge, protection, understanding, and assurance. Over and over and over again, the shepherd provides for his sheep through his word, which proves I am a sheep who is blessed by the shepherd. There is simply no way to have eternal security. There's no way to know I am his and he is mine apart from this book. Look to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Number three, align yourself with Jesus. The way to align yourself with Jesus is through a local church. And that's because the role of the local church is to ensure that followers of Christ follow him until the end. In the Bible and in life, sheep are always in a flock. That's where sheep belong. Sheep are meant for a flock, and it's for a very simple reason. A sheep who is in the flock cannot wander off. The flock literally surrounds the sheep, hems it in, and makes it impossible to go astray. When there's a sheep in front, and a sheep behind, and a sheep to the left, and a sheep to the right, there's no tantalizing sin to catch the eye. And there's no way to see the tantalizing sin to the left or to the right because the other sheep block the view. And when there's a sheep in front, and a sheep behind, and a sheep to the left, and a sheep to the right, there's no ability to go to the left or the right. The sheep push in on one another. And it's impossible to stray. And the only thing that's possible when you're in the flock is to keep the straight line. The church is God's provision to keep us in him until the end. Those who are his sheep, those who be kept to the end, are those who look to Jesus, listen to Jesus, and align themselves with Jesus. You've been listening to a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. If you're looking for a church home, we invite you to join us. We gather on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook.